talking about weed going on in Canada. Spanimus 2015 going on in Spain, Washington's first state-owned dispensary, and what Cali can expect with legalization in 2016. We are the Canalinguists. I am Alex Mandelberg. With me, as always, my awesomely, equally stoned co-host, April O'Connor, and our fucking awesome guest this week. Very good friend of mine, hilarious comedian. Give it up for Cruz Kim. That's your big moment in the show.
I dig it.
Give it up for him.
I appreciate it, Alex.
Welcome to the Cathedral of Cannabis to speak about weed with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing really good. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Very nice to have you here. A couple of interesting subjects. This was fun because you guys actually know about some of these things, and I, as usual, the idiot who knows nothing about anything, I wish I knew more about things. Really did. But weed going on in Canada. April was telling us pre-show. What were you telling us about? There's a weed boom going on in Canada.
Well, that's like where a lot of people in that want to do like big major productions are trying to
go. That seems to be the new.
That's where corporate people are going.
Really? So big industry cannabis going on. It's all moving up to Canada, huh?
That's going to be interesting. How it's going to change the landscape, man. That money injected in that area.
That's an interesting idea.
And you have free health care. You know how many Americans could be jumping over?
Oh, really? Oh, you think that could go on?
Yes.
You think some people are going to jump up there?
If the guys are going to start business there, they're going to take their crew with them.
That would make sense.
Well, I mean, they've had, British Columbia has been doing the pot thing.
I went up to, I remember.
BC Buds is like what I grew up on.
When I was 16 years old, my dad was working on a television series up in Vancouver called Peacemakers. Only ran for 1 year because Tom Berenger is a bit of a drunk. But that's a whole different story for another time. But the show ran for a season. We shot up in Vancouver over the summer. And I, because it was summer vacation, got a job working on set. And flew up and stayed with my dad and worked up in Vancouver. And the amount of times that I was so politely offered marijuana walking down the street. And like, by the way, I was 16. I didn't start smoking until I was out of high school. So I was always like, no, thank you. And they're like, yeah, no problem. Have a good day, man. I was like that was the thing. I'd always learned about peer pressure. People were like, no, man, all the cool kids are smoking weed. These guys were walking out. They're like, hey, man, you want some bud? I was like, no, I don't smoke. Like, good for you, kid. Like, what the fuck? How do these people exist? How do you have a business if you're not even trying really hard to sell your product to me right now?
Yeah. I would say like what they're saying is that in Canada, there's medical marijuana. There's no worries. People are wearing laboratory clean suits, and it's very scientific. There's no roadblocks in regards to banking. They don't have any conflict between state and federal law. Everything is really just open, and they've been doing it for a long time. I mean, any hemp products, a lot of them are also made in Canada, like hemp milks and things like that. I mean, we're so behind, and they're so open. They've been so open, and they see that what, kind of income it generates. It's like, what, there's a 60,000 square foot indoor marijuana facility in I don't know, I'm going to try to say that, in British Columbia.
Nanook?
Nanaimo? I don't know.
Oh, good. Cruz, don't you dare say that. Like, Nanaimo. That's where my people hail from, don't you know?
Nanaimo?
So is it? It says
4,000 patients a day through a facility that that's better. Wow. It was twisted.
You got to make sure the part that says back is in the back.
4,000 kilograms of pot a year, and they serve they have 4,000 patients. It opened last year after the Canadian government decided to farm out medical marijuana production to privately run facilities.
Did your dick get hard when you heard that number?
I did. A little tingling in the chest.
What am I?
It's like, what common sense? Ooh, that tears me up.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But it's good to see a government actually embrace rational, thinking and being practical with this and embracing demonizing rhetoric.
I'm trying to think of other cuz Amsterdam is a city. It's not legal throughout the entire country. It's just in Amsterdam that it's legal. I'm trying to, like, Canada would be the first Anglo-Saxon country to have federally legalized marijuana. I mean, I might have to fact check myself on this, but I'm trying to think of any other.
Well, I mean, it's legal in British Columbia.
Is it?
This is a British Columbian company that I'm talking about.
Like it's recreational, or do you have to have a prescription?
It's medical. It's medical.
Oh,
yeah.
It is medical.
But the president that runs this 60,000 square foot facility is part of Kennedy's Privateer Holdings, which is a U.S. based investment company. So that's why they're saying people from the U.S. are going up there to get this shit going because that they're putting that's where they're saying
there's less resistance.
There's less risk because so many people here can dump all their money into something. And just like we were talking about earlier, how they just legalized recreational in Alaska, and then they just in Anchorage raided a shop. So they raided a shop, and then the owner is like, I'm going to sue the shit out of the city. And that's what happens. But you sue the shit out of the city. Down the line, you get that money back, but you have nothing to recoup right there at the beginning. I mean, they've done that in L.A. for years now where they're just – they'll come in, they'll raid your shit, and then, yeah, you'll be open again in a couple days if you're hopefully keeping your stuff – not all your eggs in one basket. You're keeping stuff off-site. You have backup of all your records, all these things, because they could come in and shut somebody down completely. And because they always change things around here, they're always like, oh, 1 week. They're like, oh, it's fine. And the next week, they're like, oh, you had to shut down. You're like, wait, I have to completely transform my business model every couple of months. And then people are like, fuck it, we're going to Canada, where they're like,
well,
yeah.
That's the nice thing, at least in California. Things have seemed to have at least stabilized a little bit after, what was the last prop? Prop D, was it?
Prop D, yeah.
Yeah, Prop D went through. Here's my question, though, which is always interesting about all these businesses that are like, oh, U.S. business is moving to Canada. So if let's say that the USA in 12 years has federally legalized marijuana. Would we be able to open up commerce trade of marijuana with other countries that also have legalized marijuana?
Well, that's what I think is going to happen down the line. For sure.
Are we talking now about a new trade commodity?
Yeah, because in the end, money will always open the doors.
But once they legalize it, I'm saying like there are so many people in this country. We're going to have to outsource. Yeah. We're going to have to get stuff from South America. And that's why, like Uruguay, we talked about Uruguay. They're starting to produce because they're, it's an agricultural country. So they're going to produce stuff for us because we're consumers mostly.
We do have
some agriculture. But I mean, if they turn around and make it, I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed. You're like, holy shit. I have a friend and like his mom, like that grows, and his mom like was called him up like, did you hear Colorado's going to run out of weed? Like everybody's excited about this stuff.
You worked in the growing side of things. Do you really – how – knowing how fast things turn over, Cruz, I mean, do you feel like this is the next cash crop of the United States once federalized legalization comes around?
Yeah.
Is that our next tobacco? I mean, this country was built on the back of tobacco and whiskey. Is this our next tobacco and whiskey?
I think so.
Think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah. First of all, we're still waking up from a dream. And that of bullshit, which is that weed is bad for you.
Oh, yeah.
I still meet people who think marijuana. And then
it's
cultural. And they're not even, it's like right in your face. How many people die from smoking cigarettes? And how many people die of alcohol? Yet they're both
legal. It's culturally acceptable.
It's right in your face, the lunacy of it. And how many people die of weed? No one.
Right.
And still, we live in this, it's just, I'm flabbergasted by how ridiculous we live in this nonsense, and it stares us in the face every day.
Well, we've talked about it a lot of times, the fact that the reefer madness is still allowed on television. The story that I've told quite a few times on the show was when I heard Bill Romanowski on ESPN a few years ago when Washington legalized marijuana, they were having the conversation of athletes being allowed to smoke marijuana, and Bill Romanowski was talking about how it's 80 times more addictive than tobacco, and it's 100 times more carcinogenic. And like, these are things that it was disproven 60 years ago.
Never smoked weed, you shut the fuck up. If you've never smoked weed, you shut the fuck up about it. You can't talk. You're not allowed to.
Now, why conservatives are starting to be more open to it, because they see what a cash crop it is. I mean, this Privateer Holdings company, it's a U.S.-based investment company. They also own Leafly.
We're Leafly fans here.
And they also will be marketing a line of marijuana called Marley Natural. So they're the ones that licensed the Marley name to make Marley marijuana in Seattle. So
that's
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, and also another positive spin, like Colorado, what they did also with the surplus in taxes that marijuana brought, they were allowed to fund all these education programs.
Yeah, we even talked about this a couple weeks ago. They made so much money up in Colorado, they cut every single member or every single citizen in the state of Colorado a $7.32 check.
Yeah.
Which some people are like, oh, that's it, $7. Do you know how broke states are? Nobody ever gets anything from the state.
When except
you
for Alaska.
When you fill out your taxes at the end of this at the end of this month, when you fill out your taxes, unless you live in Alaska, you'll owe the state money. You're going to be cutting at least a little bit of a check, even if it's a couple bucks, to the state. You know why? The state's broke. They're never going to give you shit. But the federal government, they got money. They'll give you some money back usually. That's kind of how that works. For the state – the fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere. You find a state that'll buy you a meal, a full meal at a fast food restaurant just off of their profits on marijuana. That's kind of amazing to me.
That's good. I like that. Like your
I'm passionate. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got really angry there. I'm sorry. Ooh, gosh. Yeah. Where did that come from?
That was beautiful. I was hearing the da, 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 da.
Vote for me, damn it. I should have gone to college.
But yeah, I
really should have gone.
I think people are going to – it is our next alcohol tobacco because it also heals people. I think when we start waking up to the real truth about marijuana – I think it's definitely going to be our lead cash crop, unless it becomes legal in Europe or Asia, where those climates are pretty – well, not Asia so much, the humidity, but
like how much in the Middle East. How much did smoking weed change your life? Because I know you were raised in a more strict household. How much did smoking weed change your life when you did?
It saved my life, man. I take life less seriously when I'm high. And I'm not high every day, but like when I'm off for a few days and then I smoke, I realize the last 3 days I've been taking life too seriously.
Yeah.
I just do. It opens a different vantage point for me to see life. And I don't know what it is. It suspends something. It suspends the serious critic in me or whatever, but
– it's stress relief.
Yeah.
I will say this. As someone who's wrote a lot of comedy with this man, Cruz Kim, sitting right here, my favorite thing would always be if you got Cruz high and you pitched a scenario to him.
Yeah.
When Cruz was in that fun high place, he would buy into whatever you said. He's like, yeah, and where the fuck are we going from there? Let's go somewhere with it. Yes, and I'm strapped in. Let's go,
daddy.
I think I was talking about doing like some bit where I was talking about this bit where I was arguing with my girlfriend because I knew more about boy bands than her.
Okay.
And Cruz proceeded to help me write this entire bit.
I wrote a really funny
bit about it where I basically yell for 45 seconds because Cruz made me prove every bit of boy band knowledge that I had to him. He's like, you don't really know that much. And
he
kept challenging me to the point that I screamed it at him.
It's scary, though.
And he went, that's hilarious.
It's
you need to do that.
It's like how a hunter really knows its prey kind of thing.
Is that what that was? Yeah. Was a little bit creepy?
I know, my victim. I know what they like. I can see Alex on the chat room just totally spouting off this stuff with some kid.
You don't know shit about these guys, dude. Boys to Men ain't shit, man. I'll give you New Kids on the Block, you motherfucker.
They didn't do that album until 1997, man.
They had 8 overseas hits while they were in Europe before they came to the U.S. Yeah, it's a whole lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Whole lot. That's
impressive and scary.
So I can understand where you say that weed kind of was what let you calm down.
It opens, I don't know, certain angles that when I'm sober, I don't. When I'm drunk, I don't see. Yeah. Alcohol is really not that great of a drug for me. I don't really enjoy it that much.
Well, wait. When did you lived at home till you were
17?
17, right to college, correct?
Yeah, right to college.
4 years in college, 5 years in college.
I took 5 years. Took a year off.
That's cool. It's all right. Well, because you grew up in Maryland, right?
Yeah.
And where did you go to college?
Baltimore, University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Oh, shit. Way to get far away from home, you fucking Jesus. You said how bad it was there. Why didn't you go further away? God damn.
That's the only school I got accepted in. I only applied to 3 schools.
Wait, you're an Asian kid who only got accepted?
I only applied to 3, and I wasn't very ambitious with academics. I never really – I hated it.
And when did you start smoking pot?
I started smoking pot when I was 15, and then I stopped smoking pot when I was 19.
Because while you're in
the
college.
Weed in Maryland was so bad.
Oh, it's so bad.
There were seeds in it, and
it's all stressy.
It looked like it was the leaf instead of the bud. They just trimmed with scissors sometimes, and it just made me sleepy. Mm. Yeah, it was like heavy indica. So I stopped smoking for like 8 years. And then when I moved to New York is when I started again. And then it was good weed.
The New York weed, though, is so...
hit and miss.
It's so hit and miss, and it's so expensive.
Oh, very expensive.
So it's super chemmed out, and it's so expensive. Either that or you get that crappy nickel bag bunk like I used to get on my block. I lived in New York for a couple of years, and I would always have to go to back to home.
I'm not saying I know a guy in New York, but I know a guy in New York who's like...
Well, I used to know delivery services through friends that we had this one spot called the Blood Bank, and it would come in those little jars like that you would draw blood into, the little vials. And it would be like a young kid on a bike who would bring it.
Well, yeah, there's a guy like that, and he only carries two different vials. It's 60 or 120.
Yeah.
That's it. No, you don't even get a price break.
No.
He's like, you want 60 or two of 60?
Yeah. And it's not even that much. Like a New York 8th is like, a New York 8th is like, you know, a gram and a half or 2 grams. Like, it's so bad. But I used to go back like to Boston, and I mean, probably when I was like 18, did I start to get like kind bud? Like, that's what they called it. Like, it was really like BC bud. Yeah, kind bud, good bud, seedless stuff. And then, I mean, I could still get what I'd call like mid grade, like the sexy mexi. It was like green, but it had seeds. Or then there was like that brown brick nasty. That's what they call stress out here. Or they even call like the mid grade stress out here. But
yeah, we call it stress.
I remember I used to go back to Boston. And then I come back.
Was that not an East Coast term? Is stress not
stress
an East
Coast? Stress is not an East Coast term.
Oh, okay. That's just us West Coast surfer dudes.
Yeah, we call it bunk or brick or whatever.
Yeah, I've heard brick before.
But I would go back to Boston.
The backyard boogie.
And I'd bring back some good weed to New York. But my neighborhood like bunk dealer would give me a nickel bag of bunk. I one time gave him like a sack of weed just because he was cool and, you know, he always hooked me up. And he... like, I blew his fucking mind. Like, because he was just like some, like, you know, he was kind of like a, he's a very ethnic dressing white kid who sold,
I've had that hard time because
sold nickel bags.
I've never had the conversation, I've said this many times, I've never had the conversation of marijuana with my parents, either one of my parents, really. At all. They've kind of recently realized that, like, okay, we get it, you smoke weed. I don't think they know to the extent. I don't think my parents wouldn't, like, know that they haven't seen me sober in a decade, but that's a whole other story. But, you know, that was at, my dad, I gave him, because he finally, we've talked a little bit about it recently, and he told me he was out, and I had some Phyllis here. And everyone who's listened to the show knows Phyllis Diller is this man's number one weed. I love this weed.
And what is Phyllis again? It's
Jack Herrera Lemon Haze mix. But you have to get more strong Jack because the lemon is a very dominant strain.
Yeah, it's
so
soury.
The thing is, like, this is the first time I've ever given my dad some weed.
And then he's never said anything again.
And he's never said anything about it.
Wow.
Like, and I don't know how to take that. I'm like, did it freak him out? Was like I know my
dad. You gave him a sack and then he took it, but
he smoked it.
Yeah, of course, but he never said, oh my God.
But he never said, oh my God, it was amazing. He never said, whatever, it was okay. He never said, whatever, I smoke better stuff at my. Like, he never said anything about it.
You don't ever engage in a conversation, Vass? He said, dude, do you know what you think about the Phil's.
Have you talked to your dad about weed, Cruz?
Yeah, I don't have a relationship with my dad. That's not fair.
I haven't talked to
Papa Kim in a long time.
I've done a lot more than weed with my own dad. That's a whole other story.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Getting some moments. All right, so this next thing coming up.
And I just mean drugs.
We're just going to turn over here.
We're just going to turn to the board. So this next one, Spanimus 2015 in Spain. You guys seem to know what this was. I don't know what is this Spanimus? What is Spanimus?
Spanimus sounds like a lousy
Spanimus,
Greek hero.
It sounds like a spam fucking like generic.
It's Spanibus. It's a conference in Spain, and it's like, you know, what we would have out here, like a High Times Cup or what the High Times in Amsterdam. It's been going on. This is the 11th.
Sorry, we're
year.
At 4:20, so I have to.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. You want to hit it? Take a rip.
Nah.
Hand it over to Cruz.
I'm still a little stuffy.
So yeah, sorry. Continue.
But then this is the first edition of the World Cannabis Conference. It was also held at the same, you know, Spanibus. And they are also having a secret cup out there. And this is huge.
What's the legality level in Spain?
Shit, they just launched weed maps in Spain.
Okay, so where does
it... Spanibus is, right?
Spanibus is a conference.
Oh, that's the conference.
Spanibus is like in Barcelona. It is the equivalent to, say,
the, weed
the Emerald Cup or the, oh, okay. the High Times Cup. It's, all a, it's, right. a, it's another trade show for people, but it's way deeper. It's more about medical, scientific, national and international laws and things like that, and that's what they're focusing. Well, the World Cannabis Conference.
The siestas are going to be crazy.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the interesting thing, because stuff like this is once again what always brings me back to the world commerce side of it, is that once you have multiple we've already had multiple states legalized, and I'm already starting to wonder when we're going to start talking about interstate commerce of marijuana. Like, if California legalizes and Washington wants to get some Cali weed, I don't see why California shouldn't be able to profit from selling our weed to Washington.
They will, but I think that it's going to be just like it is with, like, say, tobacco and alcohol, where different states have different tariffs. And that's – so, for instance, I'm from Massachusetts. You could drive over up the street to New Hampshire and get super cheap cigarettes, super cheap booze, right? But if you got caught selling it with the different tax stamp on the bottom, like if I was selling cigarettes that I bought, you know, in New Hampshire at my store in Massachusetts, and it didn't have the right tax stamp on the bottom of it, then you get super fucked.
No, it's that's big deal. Yeah, that's federal trade regulation, stuff.
I worked with somebody who had an after hours in New York City, and I said, hey, you know, you should sell Lucy cigarettes too or something. She's like, I get more in trouble for that than I would for selling alcohol legally.
I have heard that.
You get in trouble for selling Lucy's?
Dude, Lucy's, it's a big
Why
deal.
Why is that a bad?
Because
– just to sell one?
Yeah.
Come
or
on.
Or even just to sell packs of cigarettes at the place, but if you got them up in New Hampshire or out of state.
I'll tell you exactly why, especially in New York, selling Lucy's, you'll get busted more for that than anything else, is because – First of all, cigarettes in tobacco in New York are expensive as hell. You're usually about $8 to $10 a pack.
No, it's more than that.
Sometimes, yeah, that's right. I was there recently. Sometimes it's up to. I haven't bought cigarettes there in a while.
It was $12 when I lived there almost a decade ago.
It's gone down.
I smoked American Spirits when I smoked.
It's gone down a little bit, but it's gone back up. It sits anywhere from you're usually paying $10 a pack.
Usually, if you bummed a cigarette from somebody in New York, you had to offer them a dollar.
Yeah,
because it was a dollar.
Yeah. But that being said, the reason why they're so expensive is in New York is because a majority of that tax money goes to paying cop salaries. Or in other words, some of the people most interested in making sure that the sale of tobacco is done by the book are police officers, because it's what pays their salary.
Right.
That's kind of that whole thing about the, you know, Black Lives Matter, the guy who they choked out in New York. That was the whole
Garner,
thing.
Eric Garner.
Part of the conversation there was about the fact that he was selling – you know, they thought he was selling a loose cigarette. And it was just a guy giving someone
a cigarette. Is that a loose cigarette? You're going to die.
You're going to die, boy. You're going to die for that loose cigarette. It's really – but that was that kind of thing. When you're talking about these tariffs is that, you know, that pays – that
terrorists. By terrorists, you mean the NYPD.
I said tariff, but yes, very close. The tariff terrorists. But yeah, so that's that weird thing where – when you start talking about interstate commerce, you start talking about money that matters to public servants. So it's kind of that weird thing where if we're talking about federal legalization and interstate commerce and all that stuff, is it good or is it bad? Is it going to cause problems? Is it going to cause something like this where we're going to have police who are over-policing marijuana because marijuana money is going to police? Maybe I just asked the mind-blowing question. Boom, baby. Motherfucking boom.
They're always going to protect their pockets. I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's why they go around and they check everybody's liquor licenses, make sure everybody's complying, because they get the fines from it if you're not.
Yeah, I understand. You lived in New York for a while.
New York, you need a friggin'... You need a license.
Yeah, they had the cabaret license. They banned dancing at nightclubs.
That was Giuliani.
Yeah,
that motherfucker.
Serious?
Yeah, which was the most ridiculous thing. But yeah,
it had to do with like.
It was.
Did you have cops breaking up dance floors?
Yo,
no,
you stop.
Okay.
You,
Well, like, well, but what constitutes a dance? Like, no. If they're playing music in there and some dude is standing at the bar bobbing his head, and then all of a sudden he breaks into a step, is like, are they like, the head bobbing is cool, but don't you dare do that two step, son.
I shit you not.
Throw you up against the wall. Like, what the fuck? Are you serious?
I've been in a bar that was playing straight up funk music. There was a pool table and a fucking dance floor.
You
and,
cannot play funk music and expect people to dance.
And I was like, and I,
you
and
can't.
I,
that's impossible. And I, that's impossible.
I'm a B-girl, so I'm like, fuck, I'm going to dance. So
I
started breaking, and they're like, yeah, you can't do that in here. I'm like, but there's a fucking dance floor.
If
like,
you put on funk music.
And there's a dance floor.
And no, you don't even need a dance floor. If there's funk music on.
It's like a moth
on,
to a goddamn flame.
If there's funk music on, I challenge all of the listeners on Cantilinguist, everybody in the Crab Diving Network, put on some funk music
and don't dance.
If you don't dance, you're dead. You are just dead. You have your soul has left your body long ago.
Yeah.
You have there's might be nothing left to live for. If you can't dance to some funk music, it is just it's funk. It's funky. It smells good.
Yeah, they're like,
the
I'm
funk
sorry,
is good.
You can't dance in here. I'm like, but there's a dance floor. They're like, yeah, you need a license for that.
Not anymore. Like, that's a standing around floor. You can jump up and down. You want to jump up and down in the music? You can do that.
I'm like, are you kidding me? And I think it had to do with them trying to like end like illegal warehouse raves and things like that, or people just dance like. But there's been this long going thing in Central Park where. You know, on the weekends, they'll have, like, roller skating and house music and people dancing. It's just like, how can you tell them that they need a fucking license? Like, fuck you. Like, really?
It just makes you
do
wonder.
Do I need a license
you can't
to poop?
You can't give me a license to dance, man. I gotta be free to dance.
Like we're just letting our liberties just go. We're just letting them go. Without a fight.
I you know what I do
no more
hear
fight
that
in
a
us.
Lot. I used to think
we're
that
fat and lazy.
I used to think that wasn't
spoiled.
True. I used to be very much like an America hoorah rah guy. But it's that whole thing where I go, I don't think that we're just giving them up. I think that we have reached that interesting, you know, that interesting dilemma that people talk about where you're like, well, once you're willing to give up civil liberties for freedom.
Sorry.
Once you're willing to give up civil liberties for security, democracy and freedom are dead.
Yeah, they are. You know. Dude, Obama's – one of his promises was to do away with the Patriot Act, and he hasn't done it. And no one's saying anything. No one's saying, hey, dude, by the way, that promise you made, can you stop fucking – dude, I saw this documentary on Frontline about the coverage of that, about how they just fucking
– yeah, they just stopped talking about it.
They sneaked their way into approving the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sneak – it's criminal, but we just – and there's evidence right there. You have like statesmen – testifying and still nothing is getting done.
Yeah,
no one's getting arrested.
I mean, but
how much of a conspiracist are you though, in that sense of like the whole like, all right, Alex Jones, he says like, oh, you create a problem and then you create the solution. So it's like, hey, we want to be able to take your rights away, so we're gonna have this big fucking thing and be like, oh yeah, see, by the way, to protect you guys from these bad people, we're gonna spy on all of you.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've definitely heard that thing before.
I believe it has been done before.
Same thing with cannabis, though. It's like we're getting legalization in states. Therefore, now, like, you could get pulled over in California for the past, like, decade, and they don't give five fucks, three fucks, a zero. Like, they don't care about weed. They just don't care. They'd be like,
you have a medical
marijuana card, go ahead, buy. Now it's like DUI. That's money for the state.
The amount of times that I have rolled up at work and I get to a security gig, because I work at, you know, some studios and stuff, and, you know, my car might reek of marijuana, and the security guy will just poke in, I'll hand him my security guy. He's like, your car smells good. You're damn right it does.
Yeah, it does.
You're damn right it does.
A security guy. What do you expect from him?
Well, I mean, he's supposed to be a
citizen. Well, hold here, please, while I alert the authorities. I'm sorry to do this, but you brought it on yourself.
Sometimes I happen to be around things that make me smell like pot, even if I don't smoke them. Hmm. Due to the
company,
occupational hazards.
Oh yeah, I mean,
and then I have to consider the fact that I could get a DUI just for simply smelling like it, because.
Well, that has been an interesting conversation about it.
Smelling like it.
Well, okay.
I mean, they have to have some proof, right?
Like,
they have to have some measure. They can't just say, "Oh, dude, I totally feel like she was."
Well, they
I smelled it on her.
No, it's, okay, isn't
so
that?
So she's guilty. I mean, okay. We gotta have like some blood.
So I get pulled over, and they're like, "Hey, you fucking reek." I'll be like, "No, sir, I was just elbow deep in it. I wasn't smoking it. I swear.
Wasn't smoking it. I was just trimming
it. I got
it.
The windows down. I still smell like it. Rice crazy, right?
Right. Yeah. There. You know. And there's a difference. Like I can tell the difference between smoked pot and like green pot. But yeah. You know, it's just one of those.
I transported a plant in my car one time, and my car reeked for a week and a half. I had to pick my sister up from the dentist. My sister got in the car, and she's like, "Bro, your car smells like fucking like dank weed." I was like, "Thank you." Aww.
I mean, at one point, that was just that pretty standard permanent odor in my car, and not even just from carrying it, not even necessarily from smoking it. And then, so now I run into the issue of like, oh my God, I could get into trouble for this. Somebody, I could ride through a DUI checkpoint or something, and they could just fuck with me for no reason because I smell like it. Now they just like we talk about. They don't have any.
Yeah, they don't have. They don't have any. What they don't. They don't have any way to definitively check versus a scale of. You know, like a blood alcohol content. Like they don't have a scale exactly like that. What they do have is here's the interesting thing. For those of you who want some inside knowledge, now this is only in California, not necessarily for other states, but in the state of California, in order for a officer to write you a DUI for marijuana, they actually have to be certified in recognizing what someone being under the influence of marijuana while driving, what symptoms they would.
Who's making
exhibit.
The certification process?
That's an interesting thing. I have a friend who is a Burbank police officer.
Burbank in Glen Jail.
Burbank.
Don't drive through there if you have anything in your system.
Burbank.
Or
well,
anything in
here's
your trunk.
The interesting thing. Burbank.
Is it dangerous?
It's just that they have. I lived in Burbank. It is so fucking safe. My roommate would go and eat fast food at like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and they would pull him over every time.
Oh, wow.
Just for driving at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Those guys have had, they've smoked weed before.
He doesn't drink though. He hasn't drank in like 20 years.
No, I'm seeing
years
the cops. Those cops you,
they're bored because it's so safe there.
Burbank is 14 square miles. They usually have
and they're in like they're in the 90th percentile for like safety schools.
They usually have anywhere from 13 to 16 patrol cars out from any given time, which means you can't go any mile in Burbank without being within a mile of the cop. If you call with a level one emergency, like someone is breaking into my home, they're about to kill me.
4 minutes.
No. In Burbank, the average response time is 45 seconds.
Oh,
it is sub 1 minute.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
They will walk in the door while you're still on the phone with the 911 operator. They are obscenely safe there. But that's the whole thing is a lot of people talk about how, you always get pulled over if you're over there. They don't always write you a ticket because they want to pull you over and let you know there's a lot of cops here. Don't drive like an asshole. Mm-hmm. They actually don't write a lot of tickets, which is kind of cool of them.
Cool.
Just
want to let you know we're
small
here,
town,
we're watching you.
Small town vibe in the middle of a big city. Yeah,
driving like that.
Oh, I heard.
I do not speed there. I go the speed limit. When I see people speeding by, I'm like, you're dumb. And like, seriously, I lived right on the edge of North Hollywood, and I would go out of my way slightly to just take Cahuenga and take North Hollywood the whole way home and then just go boop over the line because literally I could throw a rock to North Hollywood from where I lived.
There's a good friend of mine who we were friends in high school, but he kind of ran in a different group than me. That was kind of like the crazy wild party kids. And I was out with them one night and we were in Burbank. We were at this house party and we were just fucking lit up. Mm-hmm. And we get in the car to drive back. Thankfully, we had a designated driver. But we didn't even get – like we get onto the street and we immediately get pulled over by the Burbank PD. And this is like early 2000s. And these dudes, they were hassling the heck out of us. Where are we from? Why are we drunk? We're underage. We should take you in for being underage drunk, blah, blah, blah. They end up, in order to teach us a lesson – they drive us to the North Hollywood Burbank border. There's the Cahuenga border. Uh-huh. and we're all handcuffed and we're laying face down on the sidewalk as they're checking our information and all this stuff. They drove us to the border to check our information. When they found out that we weren't wanted for anything, they started tapping the back of our heads so that our foreheads were knocking against the concrete going, this is North Hollywood. Feel that? That's North Hollywood. This is where you want to be. See that over there? That's Burbank. Don't go there. This right here. And then they tap on our head again. This is Burbank. They did it to all of us. We had these big red raspberries in the middle of our forehead.
That's awesome.
From these Burbank cops being like, just hang out here. Don't go in Burbank. See this? Just don't do it. If you want to get drunk, do it here in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then they then they said, they were like, you're so lucky your buddy's sober. You are so lucky. Otherwise, we just haul your little asses to jail.
Oh,
and then they gave my buddy the keys back and they let us go.
Ever.
Have you done that on stage yet?
No, I've never done that on stage.
What are you talking about? That's a great bit to do on stage. You can really get in the characters. Oh my God, you can do voices. You can do act outs. It's fucking great, man.
All right. I might
have
to do
rich,
that.
Rich of comedic.
Oh. All right, that's something to go.
It's like a big shit of the Golden Goose, you know?
Yeah, and you can totally, the Burbank and Glendale one, I talk about that a lot. I don't even know if I talked about this on here, but I'm in a DUI class right now. Really? And so I get to hear all sorts of people's stories. So this guy in L.A., he actually... They forced a blood test on him because they thought he was on drugs, even though he had been drinking.
Oh, Jesus.
So, but they literally forced it on him because they thought he was on meth.
Oh, my God.
And then they found marijuana in his system, and they fucking threw the book at him. They fucked
If they think you're on meth and they find marijuana and alcohol, dude, get thee to a nunnery because rehab ain't enough. That is... Yeah. I'm always one of those people. I go, yeah, it's for everyone, but moderation, dear Lord, know what a limit is, because that. Oh
no, I mean, he didn't even blow that high. I think that they just, you know, they fucked with them, and
I don't know.
That's why obviously, I just said I'm in a class, so obviously it happened to me. So they're like, hey, you know, you can blow now, or you can take a blood test.
They always say in Los Angeles, you don't really belong until you had your first one. They say you don't belong in Los Angeles till you've had your first DUI. I know so many people who had that. I've
been here for almost 9 years, and then all the times and situations where made incredibly stupid. Like we were talking about earlier, how it's socially acceptable to drink and drive, so it's a normal thing.
Yeah.
Everybody in Hollywood does it. How many clubs are packed with fucking people and parking lots with people?
The whole drinking and driving thing in Los Angeles is a joke because the amount of places that'll just overserve the hell out of you and then not give a shit and send you on your way.
I just don't know why we're not celebrating the fact that more people haven't died. We're rock stars, man. We're all out there doing it. We're high and drunk and not killing anyone every night. Thousands of us.
There are definitely people dying. I know.
Yeah, no, but
that,
compared to how many should die, we're batting fucking 900, man.
That is an interesting point where it's like,
seriously,
the amount of
how many people die a day?
The amount of times where I've seen a comedian leaving a club and I've been like, and I want to tell him, like, I'm not your dad, but I really feel like I need to stop you right now. Now, every once in a while I've done it, but for the amount of times I've let them go, they've been at shows the next night. They didn't.
And you made it. All right.
I had it specifically the other night at UBG when I was hosting. I had a comic come in, and I was like, since it was right before St. Patty's, I was like, let's do a special on car bombs. Like, who wants to do a car bomb with me? This guy's like, me. Then he goes up on stage and he's hammered and he's ripping people. He's like ripping the guy that went before him, and he's like, I'm drunk and I'm pissed. And I was like, you need to drink some water. No car bomb for you, you know? And then I was like, drink some water. I'm like, I try to take his keys. He's like, no. I'm like, I've been at this very same place and had somebody try to take my keys. And the next time they saw me, they're like, I'm really happy to see you. You know? And then, so he chugged some water and I was like, hey, can you do me a favor before you leave? Can you go chug another water? And he's like, okay. I'm like, can you go to McDonald's too? I'll give you money if you don't have it. Like, can you just go? I'll pay for your Uber.
April is the best comedy friend in the world.
But you know, I've had people do the same for me where they're like, hey, dude, you know, don't. And I wasn't even doing like the night that it happened to me. I fucking just, you know, I had a same car for 7 years that had automatic lights, and then I got a new car that didn't. have automatic lights. And even on it with my mom in the car, I forgot to turn my headlights on. No, nothing in my system at all. So, I mean, you make mistakes, but of all the times that I've probably been stupid, this time wasn't as bad, and it was a perfect lesson. So,
like, it's a good point.
Like, I St. Patty's Day, went out drinking, Uber.
Uber.
What the fuck? And then the guy who picked me up, he's like, hey, it's my first day driving for Lyft or whatever. I was taking Lyft. I always say Uber even if I take Lyft. I don't know why. But he said, I didn't even realize it was St. Patty's Day. I'm like, I hope you have a barf bag. You know? And then he drove us down there. He was so surprised. And this other girl was at the party that I was at. I actually had a nice little conversation with her on the phone because she got a DUI that night and blew a .16.
Oh, my God.
And she's saying, who's your lawyer? I was like, you want to spend money on my lawyer? Why?
Oh.
You know, there's like
.1.
I was a .08. I was like at the limit. I was like, they could have let me go if they wanted to, but at the same time, it's money for the city.
That's a lot of booze.
Man, it was a little girl. I'm like, .16.
All right, .16. For a little person, I could see that happening. For someone like me, that is a violent amount of alcohol. I guess we should probably move on. So our next thing on the docket, the Washington's first state-owned dispensary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you had a video queued up for this, didn't you?
Well, I opened it up so I could look at it, and then the video just launched.
Oh, those fucking auto-launch mother friggers and their friggin' frigness.
It was, it's
sorry, I didn't mean to curse like that.
Oh, that's okay. The city of North Bonneville, Washington, population 1,000. it's one of the world's largest hydroelectric dams resides there, and it's right by Oregon. And the Cannabis Corner opened up. It's a government-owned one to help this city, which is so small, pay for lights and streetlights and cops and things like that. The first day sold $8,000 worth of pot.
Damn.
Jeez.
I mean, I've been at dispensaries that have done way more than that, but still, for the first day in a city that has a population of 1,000.
That's every person in the city buying $8 worth of weed.
That's a lot.
Even grandma.
Yeah. So,
even pops.
I mean, they're happy Timmy. For it. And this, so that their mayor, they're calling them the marijuana mayor.
Oh, no.
He's been smoking pot since he was a sophomore in high school. I'm glad he admits that.
No, hey, marijuana really cool. Mayor.
You know, which is because, come on.
I didn't inhale.
Like, I want to hang out with marijuana mayor.
Politicians now admitting, like, as if it's a cool thing that they've been smoking since they were sophomore in high school. That's pretty cool.
Well, and you had Obama admitting to the fact that he sold it in college. That was kind of – I remember when that was kind of a big deal
walls.
That you heard about that. I mean, this is a president who sold marijuana in college.
Right. Yeah. But we all know that G-Dub did a bunch of cocaine, admitted it.
I feel like when you say that G-Dub did a bunch of – oh, sorry. When you say that G-Dub did a bunch of cocaine to a really right-wing Republican, you either get the, no, he didn't, that's just that movie, or you get the, yeah, but he found Jesus, and that's why Jesus is awesome. So it's that
either
whole thing.
Way, you're talking to someone who's not rational.
Exactly. Either way, it's like going, come on. You know, you run into those people who are like, G-Dub, he's still a good dude.
All the business profits from the Cannabis Corner will now be kicked back to City Hall, which is huge. Somebody said, I think it's sad for the city, the sheriff. I think it's sad for the county and the residents. I think it's sad for society as a whole. Go fuck yourself.
Tell me what you really think, April.
Yeah, don't get me started. While it's legal for adults to buy marijuana and consume it in private, it's illegal to carry it across state line, but... In the course of 1 hour, Fox News saw half of the Cannabis Corner customers had Oregon license plates. One buyer concealed his weed in the spare tire wheel of his car's trunk.
Yeah, and that is the problem.
But they're busting patients.
But the same guy that says he thinks it's bad for the city says he doesn't have the resources to enforce the law prohibiting interstate transport. So,
right.
Oregon, go get your weed.
Go get it, Oregon. Go in like a thief in the night.
Oregon, North Bond. Bill. That's where you go.
Go. Go forth.
Go forth and get thee thy marijuana.
Get your freedom. It's there.
Freedom. It's for you.
The city employees who run the pot shop say the more the merrier.
Invite them all.
Drive in from everywhere.
Yeah, it says it'll keep the streetlights on, the water.
We'll leave the light on for you.
And make improvements to a playground for kids. But
dude, it's like the new Vegas, man. They just have these rows and have these hotels and businesses built on this.
Colorado's
been doing that now. There are people who are doing these marijuana travel agencies. They're like, you call us.
We will bed and breakfast.
We'll book your flight, your hotels, a bunch of dispensaries for you to go to, a bunch of places for you to hang out and smoke, and you'll take a marijuana tour of Colorado.
Before you know it, we're going to have wine and weed festivals.
I can't wait to go to my first restaurant.
This one has a strawberry essence.
I can't wait.
The back of my palate is a little more lemony.
I am waiting for the day. I will have an uncontrolled orgasm in a public place the day that I get to go to a restaurant and I have a filet mignon that is perfectly cooked, that is paired with a Cabernet that has been finely selected
and ganja
paired
garlic
with
butter.
A fucking vaporizer with a OG Kush that they've actually paired the weed to the wine to the food. Like, that is the day that I will come at the table.
Oh, yeah.
I promise that thing
there.
Now.
I hope to be there. It'll be a proud moment.
Oh, you will be. Oh, yeah. No, I'm serious. That will be a moment. That'll be a moment in my life when I finally get to do that and I get to actually enjoy marijuana, alcohol, and food responsibly at the same time in a public place.
It is going to happen in our lifetime.
Yeah, I think it can happen now. You can go to Colorado and do it, or Washington.
Colorado, I hear they're starting to have those places. They're still
surprised.
We could start our business plan right now for 2016, and then we could have something like, hey.
Everyone has said that,
We could do,
In Colorado and Washington, they haven't fully dealt with the open consumption thing. Yeah. Like they still don't really have
so many functional.
They don't come down on a fine place on consuming it in public because listen, alcohol is legal, but I can't walk down the street with a bottle of booze and drink it while walking down the street. That is
in
still,
Colorado and Vegas.
Different story. Once again, Vegas. Well, in Vegas now we're going to have weed too, which that's a whole other thing. You know, with Vegas bringing marijuana in, is marijuana going to be the same? I mean, you can smoke tobacco and drink alcohol
Vegas does not want marijuana, but they're willing to
because the casinos are going to own it.
Well, the medical marijuana program in Nevada is about $500 to get your card right now. Just like it was really expensive here when it first started.
Yeah. But Nevada's the only state so far where they will honor your card from another state. So California card is valid in Nevada.
Such a Vegas thing to do.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's because the reason why they're allowing it is because the casinos, they own all the liquor money. They own all the gambling money.
Weed is so counterproductive to the Vegas culture. Like,
right.
People don't want to gamble really when they're high. They don't want to spend money when they're high. They just really
– I don't know. That's why
if anybody's going to make money off of the cannabis in Nevada, it's going to be the casinos.
I disagree though because I will be the first – like I've gotten stoned and sat down and played some blackjack, hit some penny slots. Really? Like, yeah, absolutely.
I'm telling you. When you're stoned, they'll make
more money from the gambling if you're high.
What is better than flashing lights and colors when you're stoned as shit? Penny slots have so many flashing lights and colors. You could sit there and lose $20 in 5 minutes and just be like, woohoo, this is fun. Like, you can actually do that when you're stoned. Like, you won't even care that you're losing the money because the flashing lights and colors are kind
of
a lot of fun.
You should be the pitch man. You'll be the guy that seals the deal.
Goddamn right.
To Vegas.
Come on in here, Vegas execs. Let me talk to you, man. I got something to pitch to you, baby. It's marijuana. You heard about this thing? The ganja, the green, the cracky green.
The fun of grass.
Anything that generates revenue is going to make moneymakers salivate. They're going to. They're down. They're like, okay. Everybody's trying to get in where they fit in. They're like, money. Oh, marijuana, money. Oh, done. Like Republicans and conservatives are like, yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I can make money.
The only thing that I don't want it to happen, which is going to happen, is when big business gets involved. Like,
oh, it's too late.
Well, we've talked about it a lot of times.
Philip Morris has like those fields, and
but you know what? Listen, I've said this before on previous episodes.
They're going to make menthol joints.
There are the people in America who can only afford the generic Philip Morris marijuana,
and it's like your Budweiser drinkers versus
it's your Budweiser
craft
drinker
beers.
Versus your craft drink. Like, listen, do I love it? Do I love Budweiser? No, I don't love Budweiser, but every now and then I can have a Bud.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what this is going to be. You're going to have your guys who are like, listen, I can't afford to get expensive beer. All I can afford is Budweiser. The same guys are going to go, I can't get that expensive down the road marijuana, but Jack, I can afford the Philip Morris marijuana.
It's really hard to grow shitty weed now.
But
it's getting harder.
There's so many good genetics out there. Even the shittiest genetics still provides a lot of crystals and trichromes, and it still has some kind of fragrance. And
but think about it. Like,
see, we're gonna have to have you back here just to talk about growing, because you've been a grower for a while. We're gonna have to have Cruz back sometime. I realize we should have talked a lot about growing with you, shouldn't we?
So we've got now traditionally alcohol was a medicinal brew. It was, you know, you have tonics and brews that were made as medicine.
Correct.
Now in the future, we've got now
Cruz is giving you a gold star right now. He's like, that is correct.
That is correct. Well, we've got, okay, so you've got, now I see the same thing happening with cannabis where they're going to mass produce it, genetically modify it, make it no longer medicinal. So, but medicinal is still going to exist, just like I could still... Now, if you brew beer instead of using hops, which bitters it, if you use like dandelion root, which is also a bittering agent, it actually is good for your liver. So it's like there's medicinal properties to brewing, just like there'll be medicinal properties to cannabis. But once you add all this crap to it, it's not going to be medicine anymore.
Yeah,
so you're
and
still
when you
but
genetically
still,
modify it, and then people actually get sick and die from it, then all of a sudden they're going to have something to demonize it from.
Well, yeah, I mean, they demonize alcohol too, so it's the same thing, but they still sell the shit out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
there's AA, but yet there's fucking alcohol in every
corner. But
it's
the same point that he's gone to is that, you know, in the beginning when it was smaller brews that were being done for medicinal purposes, I'm sure that it wasn't as deadly then as it is now where it's being mass produced at a huge level.
Yeah.
When the same thing happens to marijuana and marijuana is as accepted as alcohol is, will it be mass produced and put to a
what
point where if it kills somebody that people will look at marijuana the same way they look at alcohol? I can get that argument. That certainly does make a lot.
Absolutely, because down the line after
fucking
big business,
making good points over there, Mr. Kim.
After big
God
business
damn.
Has completely ripped it apart, it's definitely going to lose some medicinal benefits, but there's still going to be the medicinal side of it. That's what I'm hoping, that we still like fight for medicinal. Although I love the idea of there being recreational because it opens it up, but it's still, we want to still hold on to that medicinal side because it's glorious.
I get it. That's right. April's got her new little puppy, her new buddy
adorable.
Who's joining us in the stage, her best new friend Jack, who's
he's
cute
like a
little puppy.
Puppy German Shepherd's face.
He's got the German face. He's a dark color. I think the one that you said that I thought that he was. It looks like a half Chihuahua, half fox terrier, or rat terrier. Fox terrier. I'm leaning towards fox terrier.
His name is Jack after Jack Herrera, or after I jacked him from some Mexican dude who wasn't taking good care of him.
I didn't steal him. He's a true rescue.
Because stealing him would be like, where'd he go? He's gone. But I was like, no, I'm taking your dog, dude. You just fed him Jack in the Box. And he was like, okay.
Yeah, good.
Oh, hey, that's great. At least he didn't fight you on
it. No, that was good.
All right, I like it.
That's much better than.
Well, geez, we.
No, I'm gonna torture this dog.
Well, now we're reaching the end. So, what's going on with you, Cruz? What you got to plug, man? What you got coming up, man?
I got a feature spot on Del Rumen's show. Camarillo, I think.
Nice.
In April.
Good for you.
And I just did a show on the Vietnamese American Media Network.
Oh God, that's what you were telling me.
I called my dad. I said, "Dad, I'm doing a comedy on a television network." He goes, "Oh yeah, it's ABC, NBC." And I go, "No." And he's like, "Cable?" I'm like, "No." He goes, "No, what?" And I said, "The Vietnamese." And then he hangs up on me after I say Vietnamese American. Thanks, Dad.
Every time you tell a story about your father, it literally kills. Your voice for your dad is one of my favorite things. Oh, did he? ABC?
He doesn't disappoint, you know, even in his old age. He's just sharp as ever with his cruelty and his coldness.
What do hail? What do hail?
Oh, that's a good dad fan.
What about you, April? What you got happenings?
I have a showcase at Flappers on the 12th. Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
What day's the 12th? I'll try to make that.
It's a Sunday. I'm actually doing the writing for a late night TV class, so I've been doing like monologue jokes and stuff.
Oh, shit.
So I'm actually. Yeah. It's been really fun. All right,
that's April 12th. That's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday, but it's an early showcase, and I'm actually not performing. It's going to be the instructor is going to be doing monologue with our jokes.
He's going to be doing the jokes you guys wrote, huh?
Yeah. All right, it's really fun. Yeah, I know.
I don't want to see a stupid teacher.
I want to see a
teacher who just wants some stage time.
Yeah.
Performing other people's material. You selfish bastard. What teacher is this? I can't. Yeah, I got an idea. I can't write any good stuff. I'll teach a class. If people will write the jokes, and I'll perform it, and I'll get all the glory.
He's actually a cool dude. He was the head writer for Letterman for years. He's written with Bill Maher and a bunch. And I've gotten a lot out of the class so far. And it's not. I mean, I've performed at Flappers all the time, but that one, it's different. It's different when you write for somebody else's voice, and
that is the point of it.
That's a talent in and of thing. Itself.
I was just joking.
I know, but I'm just saying.
The ability to write for someone else's
voice. The ability to write in somebody else's voice and plus find other ways to – I mean, it's a tough gig to make money in comedy. So I'm just trying to expand and find out as much, you know, ways of making money.
Give us a little endorsement for the class.
Not just that class, but I mean, it tells you how to prepare a packet, how to set up desk pieces and all sorts of things.
I think I'll take this class.
Yeah, the dude's cool. It's not really comics in the class. It's all like writer people. So it's different. If you have a background in stand-up, you have a huge advantage.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Well, I will be this is airing this tomorrow. So, this weekend, the last weekend in March, I'm going to be up in Portland. Doing comedy at Harvey's Comedy Club, which I'm really excited about. I'm going to be hosting 7 shows, which is doing 3 on Saturday, which is really kind of awesome. I've never done 3 shows in one day.
That's going to be awesome.
Well, 3 shows in a club in one day. I've done 3 sets in a day, but you know, like 2 of them were open mics. And other than that, the new Riffopolis podcast network that just launched, I got the Cold World of Sports that I'm hosting with our monthly visitor here, Teddy Tutson. Me and him talking sports over there. You can check me out there. And other than that, man, Cruz, thank you for coming
in. Thanks
so much. Thanks for having me.
Smoking, giving us some of your knowledge. Absolutely. I'm going to want to talk to you sometime about growing.
Sure.
For April O'Connor, I am Alex Mandelberg. Thank you guys for cruising and listening. And thank you, Crab Diving Network.
And Jack says bye, too.